believe I just heard a first. A friend of mine texted me, said, you need anything from Costco? I'm here, and there's maybe 12 people in the entire building.
Oh, wow. Are they handing out samples?
No.
Oh, okay.
You haven't been there in a while?
No, it's been a minute.
We've got a pandemic going on.
Oh, no good samples. Call.
Yeah. Let's welcome in Brian. I mean, that's unheard of. I said, is the place closed? Are you just in there illegally? Here's Brian Christophers from Husker 24/7 BC. How are you?
Not doing too bad.
Have you ventured out yet today?
I'm sitting in a church parking lot right now talking to you. It's like a block from my house, and this is sort of my radio spot. That was my first time outdoors, though.
Ben Stille has just announced that he is coming back. So now 9 of the 11 starters on defense. This is great timing. Thanks, Ben. You knew that Brian Christophersen was going to join us. We can talk about it now that it's all the decisions have been made. With the addition of Ben Stille, and again, 9 of the 11 starters are back. The top 8 tacklers return. You lost Wandale Robinson, who he's the hometown hero, as the graphic was tweeted out by Wandale in Kentucky today. You added a FCS All-American wide receiver and a USC running back. Maybe it's too soon to ask this, but I'm going to. Did Nebraska get better, stay the same, or very much unknown after this week?
I'd say the arrow points up when you put it all together. That said, the Wandale loss is big enough that it makes it a conversation, which speaks to the power of Wandale, that one guy can sort of have that weight, as diminutive as he is, to make you think about that question. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because
yep.
if you look at the numbers, Nebraska's getting a lot of positive news here. I mean, they, especially on the defensive side, there's no question if we're just talking defense, that's an arrow up situation right now for Eric Chenander. And I think I would pause and say this also. I think it tells you something about what Chenander has built within his culture with his guys. That so many guys are willing to come back and play a sixth year of college football. That's pretty impressive. So I think it's been a mostly positive week for Nebraska, and I'm not just trying to be the Kool-Aid guy. But after absorbing the punch in the gut that was Wandale leaving, mm-hmm. it's sort of been a steady stream of good information for him.
So let's shift over to the defensive side of the ball. And you know, we do this. I mean, every fan base does this. Media, they do this. They want to read into things. And the arrow on the defensive side, especially at the back end of this shortened season, was headed in the right direction. You could see that guys were getting better, that guys enjoyed playing with each other. There weren't as many back-to-back weekends where they'd have hiccups. They, of course, would like to have Illinois back. But there were games, even when Nebraska was on the wrong end, that they played well enough. How much of these decisions by these seniors to come back do you think, and it could be an array of all of them, is one, they like playing with their mates on the defensive side of the ball. They believe in where the defense is headed. They didn't essentially like what they were hearing from the NFL. Or they simply, and maybe I lean also towards this, they kind of got screwed out of their last season at Nebraska. That was not a real Nebraska football experience where you come back and you get the full Saturdays in the fall in Lincoln and what it means to play Nebraska football when you don't have to show up at 7 in the morning to be tested, and it sucks the life out of you.
Yeah, I think that last part's a big one, especially since a lot of these guys are sort of fringe NFL guys. You know what I mean? I mean, every one of these defenders we're talking about, I wouldn't say it would be automatic, or in a lot of cases you would even expect they would get drafted. You would think maybe they're free agent guys and they would get a chance at camp to prove themselves in the NFL. And you could make it that way. There's been Huskers in the past who have made it to the league and had good careers after being free agent signings. But there was no guarantees there. So I think if you're, you know, a senior, you're looking at it saying, you know, I could play one more season of football, at least guaranteed, at a place where it is the show.
Yep.
It's treated like a professional sports team in the way it's covered. I'm going to do that. You know, and it's going to give me one more full year of film. And if I show out well, hey, I'll have that chance still a year from now to make a run at the NFL. Still, I admit I'm a little surprised that Doman, Deontay, and Markell Dismuke in particular all came back. I thought at least a couple of those guys would leave. And one of the reasons I thought that, especially with like Deontay and Markell, is we're talking about guys who are like 23, 24 years old now. You know, I mean, these are grown men in every sense. And whether they were going to make it in the NFL or not, you're kind of at that point in your life where I totally understand, like DiCaprio Boodle decided to do, like, hey, I'm going to take my shot at this now. I mean, if I make it or don't make it, I'm going now. I've played 5 years of college football. That's a good amount of time. Let's see what happens. Let's move on to the next chapter of my life and move on to the working force. So I totally get those guys who would have left, which is why it's so impressive that so many stuck around. Honestly, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought they might have to remodel the entire secondary. You know, I thought, what if Cam Taylor-Britt jumps? I didn't know about the safeties. Then you got the Boodle news, and I was thinking they're going to have a whole new look back there, maybe, or at least three new guys. And instead, it's basically the same crew running it back, and Travis Fisher's got to feel pretty good right now about what's in the cupboard.
Yeah, five of the six seniors on that side of the ball that had to make a decision, they all decide to come back. So with that said, some of those guys are some of your best players. But I think as I look to 21 and you look initially at the beginning of the schedule where you're going to be challenged on defense, you're going to face some pretty good offenses. Buffalo's losing two running backs to the NFL, but that's an offense that puts up some big numbers. You know what's on the horizon with Oklahoma and Ohio State in the first essential month of the season. Doesn't this, the success of the defense in 21, great to have the veteran guys come back, but won't it be kind of decided how good it is and where it's going if there's the Henriches and the Reimers and the Robinsons and the Daniels and the Rogers are the kind of guys that make that next leap?
Yep, that's a very good point. I think those guys have to explode this next year, and it's possible they can, but that's the big question now. Can those guys take the next jump that takes Nebraska from what right now is a respectable, I would say by the end of the year, mid-level defense, you know, kind of a defense that you would say ranks like between 40th and 50th in the country. I think their yards per play, they rank 44th. Now, can those guys who you're talking about, who are, some of them are entering like their third year in the program, can they make that move where Nebraska is a top 25 type of defense? It's not going to be easy. Like, the numbers suggest they're just going to keep climbing because they have been under Eric Chenander. But when you look at that schedule, I mean, you're honestly, you're facing, you know, you're going to see two of the best offenses in college football in Oklahoma, Ohio State. And you're basically playing 10 conference games because of the Oklahoma game. It's very tricky statistically to improve because of the schedule. But you have to take that challenge and say, we got the experience. We have more veterans than the other side we're going against probably. Let's go do this. Let's go be a top 25 defense. Let's carry this thing. And such an interesting conversation, isn't it, that we're talking right now about the black shirts being the group that sort of like you carry some weight while the offense figures it out. We thought it was going to be the other way around here.
How do we figure out the running back position?
I say you just got to throw the footballs out there and say, let's go. Let's see who's got it. Let's see who can pick stuff up. And it's wide open for everybody. I don't know that there's one you say is out in front of the other right now. I definitely don't think of the returning guys. I have any information to say this guy's better than that guy. And so they have to all feel like that. And that should enthuse those players. I mean, they're competitors. They came to a place like Nebraska knowing that, you know, at running back, there's going to be five or six guys in the competition every year. That's the way it should be. And right now, I don't think there's a favorite in the clubhouse. So, you know, maybe Stepp is because of his experience a little bit at USC, but, you know, he's a new guy. He'll have to figure some things out and play a little bit of catch up. I'm really anxious to see Savion Morrison.
Yep.
Just because we didn't see him at all. And let's not forget, he had one of the great high school careers down in Oklahoma, broke all Spencer Tillman's records. And you know, that's worth only so much change in your pocket once you get to college. But he was a very good player as a high school guy, so I'm not sleeping on him at all.
Will the third time be a charm with special teams? Jovan DeWitt last year battling health issues, but also was in charge of special teams. Then they go outside the family, think outside of the box, make it an analyst position. Jonathan Rutledge comes from the SEC in I think, a very difficult year with a pandemic and the shortened time to try and be a special teams guy that is not also coaching a position where you have more hands-on with players. It didn't work out, and then it just kind of collapsed across the board outside of an all-Big Ten kicker. You be an analyst here, BC. I'm putting you on the spot. How do you go about fixing the special teams where they don't need to go from 105th in punt coverage to 10th? If they would just be in the 60s, it could make a difference in a game or two. How do you get special teams headed in the right direction where it's been going in the wrong direction the last 2 years?
Well, I think first off, I'd like to know more about sort of how it works on game day with special teams. And it's something next time we get Scott Frost, I think it's worth asking. Like, how do you want to handle the communication? And, you know, who's really in charge down there? Maybe they're going to promote somebody within and make a full-time guy have that coordinator title. But I was sort of always curious how it worked last year on game days, because there was obviously some miscommunications on situations where, you know, they kicked it deep to Cruikshank when they didn't want to. You know, you have the situation where you didn't have 11 guys on the field one time when a punter runs around for a fourth down, and then it happens twice to you where a punter does that. And so that, to me, I mean, some of that's you got to lay on communication and what's being fed to guys down on the field. And that wasn't Jonathan Rutledge's part, really. He couldn't do that. He was, you know, he didn't have access to that as an analyst. He could just put out a map. And here's our plan going in, and then kind of watch it unfold like the rest of us. And so I sort of think they need somebody, whether it's a Mike Dawson type, or if you got to bring in somebody new who is just like, that is his show. And maybe the head coach has to get a little more involved in it too. I think sometimes when the head coach pops his head into something more, it tells everybody in the entire building, like, okay, this thing's got to change, you know, the big man's looking at it here. And so, you know, maybe that's part of it. But Jonathan Rutledge, I would say this about him. You're right. He was in a tough spot this year. I mean, it's a COVID year where you're dealing with all these difficult circumstances. You can't be down there on the field with guys when it counts. And it wasn't all bad from him. He did, I think, help and recruit, get Culp here. And Daniel Cerny, he had a part in that. And so he'll have success in his career. That's just sort of coaching. And I understand, though, Nebraska's got to kind of make over, you know, how that operation unfolds. I don't know how you do it, but it's got to be a look under the hood. How do you really want this to unfold?
And it can be part of your culture where you make being part of special teams a big deal. Like, guys are coming up to you and go, man, how do I get on that unit? Where it's a badge of honor to play special teams at Nebraska. That's us talking. I don't know if you could make that the case, but that might be the way to fix some things in the meantime.
Yeah, and I mean, I have heard in different years, players will sometimes say, like, that's the way it is, but then you just don't see the results you want. There were, like, subtle improvements this year, I thought. But when it was sort of this thing where there were subtle improvements, but when Nebraska made a mistake, man, it was a mistake. It spilled wine all over the red, all over the white carpet that it just put in. Like, you could not get away from noticing it. And it was so bad that it outweighed any of these little minor improvements you had made. And let's be real. They need somebody who can blast that thing through the end zone, too. You know, when you're only getting touchbacks on, like, 30% of your time, and last year was, like, 21%, you need that to be above 50. You need a guy with a leg who, and Culp's obviously a great place kicker, but maybe they got one in a walk-on coming in state, but they need a guy who can put that thing into the seat.
Yeah, and you know, probably also part of Jonathan Rutledge this year, when punting is 95th in the country, is if Cerny is not hurt, he's probably your everyday punter.
Yeah, we haven't even seen what he can do yet. Yep. I mean, you hope he lives up to the billing, and that's one of these. They've had some unfortunate breaks. Everybody gets them, but it feels like, you know, with Nebraska football at some key spots, right when you want to see something improve, somebody goes down or there's an injury like that. So it was not an easy hand for Jonathan Rutledge, you know, it's not going to be an easy hand for whoever's in charge of fixing it. I think it's going to take everybody, though. You know, all the coaches were involved with it this year, too. Let's be clear on that. Like, all the coaches had little roles on it. I'm just curious, like, when it's Saturday, what does that look like? How is that information passed on? Because clearly something was lost in translation.
What's an area that you'll be watching now? Now the guys are returning. School is a week away. You know, you got a lot of movement around the country. Steve Sarkisian's trying to wrap up his staff over the weekend. What's the next thing that you'll be looking for of news out of Nebraska?
I think it's Scott Frost's staff. You know, does everybody stay put, or are there some job title switches within that? That's the sort of stuff you figure out over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we went over this question a week or so ago, like on the defensive side of the ball. I like where they're trending. You know, I don't see any change you make there. So, you know, is there anything coming on offense? I'm not positive. Maybe not at all, but that special teams question you asked previously sort of is big in deciding how that works. Because if you think you have to bring in someone from the outside, that's their job, well, then you would have to knock somebody off, you know, to take that position. That's just the way it works. Or you elevate somebody in and you switch responsibilities around your full-time guys. So that, to me, is like the biggest question looming now. And if there's any other transfers, in this day and age, you can always expect that portal news is always just an hour away.
Yeah, it is. It is. BC, thank you very much. Stay safe in the wintry weather today. Always appreciate it. Great stuff by you and the crew on a busy week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Brian Christopherson, who always joins us here on Fridays at 11:30. So, moving forward, I think it's more likely that you would move some pieces around, that special teams becomes a full-time job. You know, yesterday I was saying, head coach, take it over. Spread it amongst your staff. But it may be trending towards making it a full-time position. Bill Bush is a guy that I think would be ideal. He's already proven at his alma mater that he can coach special teams. You remember what he did in 2000, what was it, 2005? Nebraska had an exceptional special teams group. They blocked punts. Their punt coverage unit, their kickoff coverage units were very good. So he knows what he's doing. Has different stops since then. What, Utah State? At Wisconsin, they put him in charge of special teams. I don't think part of his time at Wisconsin, when he was working with special teams, he was not on field. Most recently at LSU, he has not been retained at LSU. But here's another thing to think about. If Bill Bush would be a possible candidate, one, he knows what he's getting into at Nebraska. He's also, you know, I'm sure that he knows Scott Frost or knows guys on this staff that he has crossed paths with, is you would be getting a full-time special teams coach who's also got, you know, a defensive background, primarily with defensive backs. But throw this in there. Bill Bush is an exceptional recruiter. So that would be an added bonus if it was shifted around where you opened up a spot for a full-time special teams coach, that they could come in and, yes, run that, but they also have the ability to do some other things. I think maybe we're trending towards a full-time position, which means that there would have to be some shifting around of duties and bodies to open up a full-time job, because right now all the full-time jobs are currently occupied. All right, straight up at noon. More on this, I want to circle back the little discussion we got into about defensive players and what Ben Stille announcing that he's coming back. So 9 of the 11 starters are back for Nebraska, but you can't stop there. You cannot be status quo with Nebraska defensively and think you're going to go from 3 to 7 wins. I'll dive deeper into that. Dirk Chatelain We'll stop by at about 1 o'clock. More of your emails into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary or George at 1620thezone.com, or as always on the phones, 951-1620. We're back with more of the show on a Friday on 1620 The Zone.